Hi, everybody. This is Scott Callan. Thank you so much for joining today. I'm in a room with my Japanese colleagues wearing a mask, so hopefully you can still understand me despite the mask. Joining us on the call are Ted Fujita, our lead independent director, and Dan Morisaku, a senior manager in finance and our head of global IR. I'm working off of our FY21-2, so February 21 fiscal year corporate presentation that's on the website. Let's go at it. Starting with page 8, it was a relatively light quarter. That's a little bit because of COVID impact, but discounting that, it's primarily because we have stock earnings we can see on the page, and then we have variability or flow earnings. So Q2 was a little light. Q2 were bigger. We've already announced we did a large transaction of residential sales that will be contributing in Q3. You can see that we continue to, despite this overwhelming, unprecedented, incredibly difficult pandemic that we're all suffering together globally, the earnings model is very durable. We run at significantly higher levels of stock earnings, so there's a kind of effectively fixed earnings above our fixed expenses. Despite the kind of the chaos that's out there, we describe our stock earnings as robust. We hope you can forgive the term robust. We don't think these numbers are particularly strong, and they don't at all speak to what ongoing normalized earnings look like. There's a fall off in sustainable real estate that's overwhelmingly coming from decrease in hotel income. So our hotels have a combination of fixed rents and variable rents. There are no variable rents. I mean, that's what you experience in this kind of environment. Asset management's down a little bit. Clean energy, which is completely indifferent to what's happening in the world, is growing very nicely. I'll turn to we announced a share buyback. To be very direct about it, we would have announced a share buyback in Q1, where the stock was even cheaper than it was today. Because we were sitting right in front of this large real estate transaction, we were actually insiders and weren't able to do a share buyback at the time. So we are now announcing a transaction today. I'm going to go relatively quickly through the COVID impacts, and I'll take questions from you to the extent that you have them during Q&A. But page 9 shows kind of the three key segments: asset management, sustainable real estate, and clean energy. Asset management has had some impact, primarily, again, in hotels. We get asset management fees that are linked to NOI of the hotels. If you see the disclosure that's coming out of Ichigo Hotel REIT, RevPAR is down about 70% year on year. So for Ichigo Hotel also, you have fixed rents coming in at the hotels, but no variable rents. Sustainable real estate has had, you know, a little bit of recovery in hotel rental income, which is great, but it's still, you know, just absolutely an utterly terrible operating environment, and we'll have to see COVID come to an end and people feel comfortable traveling again before that changes. The primary impact on earnings in sustainable real estate is, and you can see at the very bottom, we break out between impacts in leasing and impacts in sales and acquisitions. There's been almost a complete halt in transactions in office, hotel, and retail. That's primarily because buyers and sellers have different views as to what the appropriate pricing is. So spreads have blown out. It's residential that continues to be very, very active, and that's for obvious reasons. Residential, Japan has done a very good job of protecting people's incomes. Residential assets are fully performing, and so when there's uncertainty what's going on at the moment in terms of economics, hotel and retail, and uncertainty in the future as to what work from home means for office, those become transaction markets that are very hard to operate in, and residential, on the other hand, is just very secure. So we've been big in residential. Turn to page 10 in terms of our COVID response. It's primarily spending a lot of time with our tenants and using this as an opportunity to work with our tenants to acquire, quite honestly, data about tenants and what their needs are, what their economics are. This has been an unprecedented opportunity to sit down. We've literally sit down with every single tenant and gone through their situation. we are there to be supportive. We take a long view on what it is to be a sustainable real estate owner. It's still obviously traumatic and difficult out there. We will be accommodative. We think there should be accommodation done for our tenants in terms of pushing out kind of rental payment deferrals or partial decreases in the rents in order to help them kind of get through this period. But in return for that, we do ask for a systematic understanding of what the financial situation is, what their ongoing economics look like. And so it has created, we think, a transformational opportunity for us to understand our tenants' businesses better. Offices and hotels are in a very different situation. Just to touch a little bit on offices, we think we have a differentiated view from what the market seems to be thinking about offices. We have done extensive, we've spoken with every single office tenant. We've also done tenant surveys to all of our tenants to understand what's going on with them in the office environment. The market seems to think that work from home is going to damage office demand, and it could well. I mean, it certainly could well, both in Japan and globally. What's differentiated in our case is that our offices are, one, very, very well priced relative to competition. You can see the average rent is about 16,000 yen per tsubo, so Tokyo kind of big offices and, you know, we're in primaries also, but bigger offices will typically be something that looks more like high 20s to 40,000 as kind of a category. So we're literally kind of half those rents. And so what we think the market may be getting wrong is that we see opportunities to take tenants, and we are experiencing that in our leasing activity. I should say that we have about 200 office tenants right now. We have had four ask for some sort of rental accommodation, rent accommodation, meaning kind of can we pay you less or can we pay you later. And we have had two, I think it's two lease cancellations. So I'm telling you, you know, what we're seeing on the ground with our tenants and what they've expressed to us in our meetings with them and going forward is not that there's going to be this kind of massive weakening in demand. The other thing that we're seeing is we are picking up tenants who are downsizing space. And to be clear, we specialize in small and mid-sized offices. And the advantage of small and mid-sized offices are better value for money. And in many cases, to address an important need, typically one tenant per floor. So one of the things we're getting in our tenant surveys also is we really don't like being with a whole bunch of other tenants in the building. And we want you as Ichigo to interact with all the other tenants and set up rules and guidelines for everyone should be wearing masks in the hallways and all that sort of thing. But it has pushed up demand for isolated office spaces, and we're getting some advantage from that. On the hotel side, it's really become clear that we acquired Hakata Hotels, a hotel operator, I think it was early last year. It is clearly advantageous for us to have our own hotel operator. We have picked up three operator contracts on three hotels, two on our own balance sheet at ICH and one at Ichigo Hotel REIT, just related to COVID. So one of the things that we think we ought to deliver to you is we don't think these our earnings at all right now look like what normalized earnings look like, but at least take advantage of the current situation to invest for earnings growth in the future. You know, we're getting a lot of inquiries about do we want to take over operator contracts. We're picking and choosing, and we think we're taking on situations which are going to be very positive going forward. Page 11 shows you some of the things that we're doing to try to help our tenants in terms of infection countermeasures. That includes, on the bottom, providing free Wi-Fi at all of our residential assets to help kind of not infection in the building themselves, but kind of decrease the amount of activity that is going on within the society to decrease infection spread. I should also tell you that, you know, as a company, we were effectively, even 10 months ago, 100% in the office for all intents and purposes, and maybe 90-95% of the office. We're at this point operating kind of about 15-20%. So we've made a massive and dramatic transition to being operate remotely. which is great for BCP purposes and is great for kind of flexibility and the ability to do things, all things everywhere. So that transition has worked pretty well. Page 12 shows you the grim numbers, and they are grim. I mean, we have about a quarter of our assets in hotels. We have a quarter of our assets in retail, which were designed to be Amazon-proof by focusing on services and experiences. And those two groups have been impacted, particularly the hotels. So you're going to see a big drop-off in earnings. We do think this is one-off. But the grim reality is that OP is down 64% year on year, and net income is down 68%, EPS is down 67%, stock is down 36%, and floor earnings are down 68%. On page 13, we show the segment earnings details. Again, I already touched on this. Asset management is down primarily on Ichigo Hotel. Asset management fees, what we have a link to. In almost all cases, you know, very a stable NOI. We run our hotels hard and with very high levels of occupancy. They're not resorts. They're not kind of economically sensitive. We built a hotel portfolio which is very kind of centrally located, low cost in terms of the basic offer, plus the not hotels, our new boutique hotels that have been kind of massive outperformers. So in the asset management space, which a hotel is again doesn't have the not boutique hotels, but has these kind of everyday value hotels, the economics are generally extremely durable. They're not now. I mean, this is kind of stuff is just falling through the floor. On sustainable real estate, the stock earnings are primarily a decrease in hotel income. In actuality, the resale impact has proven to be relatively limited. It's primarily because we have a mix of both Amazon-proof retail in terms of kind of its restaurants and as I say, kind of experiential things and, you know, its dentist offices and all that sort of thing. It's also because we have, within the retail sector, a bunch of dentists have done very well under COVID. So the suburban outlets, suburbs are doing very well because people aren't commuting in. Shopping centers, kind of everyday kind of shopping, supermarkets, that sort of thing, is doing very, very well. Drug stores are doing very, very well. So retail is actually proven to be relatively defensive. Floor earnings, I already touched on. There's very little activity in sales and acquisitions and other residential. We've been very active as a result in residential. And then clean energy, that's growing nicely year on year. We've had six plants online since last year. And I'm sorry. On an earlier page, we wrote that as fiscal year 19 to half H1. So on page 8, that should have been fiscal year 20 H1. So over the last year, we brought on 16 plants. Pages 15, 16, 17, and 18 go through kind of elements of the business model. And we've touched on this before. It's a combination of stock and flow earnings on page 15. Page 16 shows kind of effectively an earnings bank that we build over time. Our accounting earnings significantly understate our economic earnings. Page 17 shows you how, kind of speaking to page 16 where we show these unrealized gains. Page 17 shows you how much more we actually generate in terms of actual gains when we sell assets. As you can see, the biggest thing to notice on page 17 is that there's a very, very big drop-off in our sales activity. And that's a choice we made. I mean, we can sell office assets, we can sell hotel assets, retail, but, you know, we don't think the pricing makes sense, and so we're not involved in that in doing so right now. The reason why you see a little bit of a drop-off in terms of the multiple relative to, well, more little, in terms of the multiple of what we're getting relative to our accounting appraisal value based on realized gains is because we're overwhelmingly involved with Ichigo Owners in terms of our sale activity, and Ichigo Owners is a lower margin business. But that's going very much according to plan. Page 18 again points to an essential element of the business model. We're not a accrual-based company. We generate a significant amount of cash, overwhelmingly more than what our net income reports. Page 19 shows there's really been no change under COVID in terms of how we finance ourselves. We finance very, very long term at extraordinarily low rates, and that will continue. Turning to page 27, shows our acquisition and sale activity in the first half. The most important thing to understand is this is overwhelmingly it's been involved Ichigo Owners. So to remind you, Ichigo Owners is a business we set up 3 years ago. It is overwhelmingly focused on very quick value add. The business model involves a less than 1 year hold. We buy residential assets at a discount in prime Tokyo areas from developers. Generally we buy them kind of 18 months to kind of 1.5 years or 2.5 years in advance. They come in, they're in a great area, we lease them up, we sell them on to whoever wants to buy a fully leased up residential asset in a really good part of Tokyo. Demand for that has been overwhelming. So that's the one part of the market that is transacting very, very heavily, and we're very involved in it. We bought the same amount, 13 assets, 10 billion yen for Ichigo Owners, so 46% of our total transactions, and we sold 13 assets, 16.6 billion yen, so 81% of our total. That does not include the additional owners activity I told you we're going to report in Q3. The one exception that looks like we've been doing more is in hotels, and that was us bringing online the Knott's Sapporo and the Knott's Hiroshima. So we now have four of the Knott's. This is a boutique, a hotel that offers extraordinary value for money. The issue with Japanese hotels is you kind of have the high end that costs $400 to $500 a night. You have the low end, which costs $60, $80 a night. But if somebody wants to stay at a really nice hotel for $150 a night, there's not nearly as much an offer. So we have a Knott in Tokyo. We have a Knott in Yokohama. We brought on two of them. Truth of the matter is they're earning no returns. So we do need to see travel come back for these to be productive, and we're very, very confident that they'll be, that we will be. So the acquisitions that you see, 8.7 billion in hotels, that's primarily the Knott's Sapporo and the Knott's Hiroshima. Page 22 shows where we are with our three listed vehicles, the two TSE REITs, Ichigo Office and Ichigo Hotel, and our Yoko Ichigo Green Infrastructure. I think probably the most important thing that's new on the page is for Ichigo Hotel, we are using Hakata Hotels, our proprietary operator, for now. Three hotels, again, we had two of them last year, and we picked another one this year. Page 23 shows what's happening with our clean energy business, which is growing really nicely. Six new plants over the last year. Four of those would be year-to-date. We have three more coming online this year. So we have another kind of a nearly 50%, 46% growth embedded in our current pipeline for the clean energy business. Page 24 shows you our first wind power plant that's coming online in December. It's four wind turbines in Yamagata in northern Japan. Give you some sense of the economics on this. Total investment about 3.6 billion yen, so at 100 yen to a dollar, $36 million. The NOI pre-depreciation is 12%. Post-depreciation is 8%. This continues to be, clean energy continues to be a very kind of good business with super normal returns, and we expect to continue to get bigger in it. 25 talks about the buyback. Again, as I pointed out earlier, we would have done one in Q1 if we could, but unfortunately we're restricted because we had information. And look, I mean, at today's earnings, the multiple looks relatively high. Of course it does, because earnings have plunged. We feel very, very comfortable, one, that our NAV is solid. We're basically buying at around NAV right now, even with a stress view of what assets are worth under COVID and under post-COVID. And two, we fully expect our earnings to come back in a very significant way. And so we think the stock is very cheap. Finally, on page 26, we do have a J League shareholder program that's been remarkably successful. We have 66,000 shareholders involved, not only at this company, but at the two REITs and the Yoko. Unfortunately, that's moved primarily to, you know, there has been some limited J League match activity. There's been J League match activity with limited kind of fan participation. Given the way that the J League has been organizing that, we haven't been able to send out tickets to our shareholders as we would normally do. So we've been substituting things like sending people on autographed merchandise like jerseys and things like that, having online events, et cetera. But this is something that, of course, when the J League comes back full force, our shareholders will be able to fully enjoy again. So that's what I have in terms of the presentation. I'm happy to take any questions or any feedback of any kind. Again, thank you so much for joining us all today. And to reiterate, we have not just me, but also Ted Fujita, our lead independent director, and Dan Morisaki from finance to take questions also. For those of you who want to say anything, ask a question, or give any feedback, you can press star then one. And if you want to withdraw your question, you can press star then two. So star then one for anybody who's interested in participating on the call. Greg, we have you. Thank you very much for joining. Go for it.
Hi, Scott. Thank you very much for the presentation. One quick confirmation on hotels, as you mentioned. So in Q1, you guys bought two hotels for $4.76 billion, and the tally at H1 is three hotels for $8.7. So if I understand you correctly, the additional hotel was the not Hiroshima. Is that correct?
It was one of the nots. Greg, it was Hiroshima.
Okay, great. Thank you. And a quick follow-up on hotels again. So last time on the first quarter call, you were still quite cautious regarding kind of re-entering hotels as an asset class. But as you just alluded now, it seems that you guys are kind of starting to look at whether there are opportunities. So can we consider that, you know, you would be in opportunistic acquisition mode at the right price going into kind of Q3 or Q4, which is when I expect some of the inventory might come out?
Yeah, I mean, this is tricky. I mean, so what we've been doing is we've been taking on operator contracts so that you've got less kind of, you don't have asset risk on that. And we're taking them on conditions that we think are very, you know, that reflect kind of, you know, at least a year of difficulty, and so you know they're safe, very little downside, and you get the ongoing upside going forward. In terms of buying hotel assets, you know, it depends on what's priced. I mean, there at some point we will be post COVID via vaccine or treatment regime, or people just getting tired and decide they want to go in the world again, and everyone's wearing masks like they do in Japan. And so, you know, we are underwriting to at least another year of this is going to be really, really hard. And if the numbers work on that basis, and then kind of a gradual recovery, if you underwrite to that and it's attractive, we're definitely there. And the reality is that I think you're absolutely right. Kind of Q3, Q4 is beginning. People are beginning to run out of runway. Less well-capitalized people in leisure and entertainment are finally having to kind of give up, and so they likely are going to be opportunities, and we will look at them very carefully. But the other thing I would add is, and I think we've done, and I own this, so apologies to all of you. You know, I think we've probably done a poor job of explaining to the market our Propera AI revenue management system. One of the things that's happened is because of COVID, so that optimizes your ability to drive higher returns from hotels, and it's proven to be very, very powerful. It's the kind of single platform business that we have, in other words, kind of IT-driven with the ability to kind of become the market standard and generate, you know, huge economics over time. One of the things that's happened with COVID is because, quite honestly, one of the things that you do is you go to operators and you should use, you know, prepare, and they're like, yeah, we're not really sure, think we should, and all that sort of thing, do we have to, and things are just fine now. COVID has been a wonderful opportunity to market this because hotel operators are really, really desperate. It's the result of that is we get kind of more people in the system. You get kind of this flywheel of you having more data and the ability to kind of push along the algorithm and optimization ahead of other people. So we do think that Propera is proving to be a significant edge for us in the hotel space, and will allow us to take assets, and generally you're getting kind of upticks to 20 to 40% of NOI that other people can't generate. So hotels continue to be very, very interesting to us.
Understood. And one more question, if I may, on sustainable sustainable energy.
Yeah.
Obviously, with the Suga administration, there seemed to be a push towards more renewable, or I would say an acceleration of that trend.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that an opportunity for you to accelerate acquisition of kind of third-party sites to get bigger with the Ichigo Green?
Yeah. I mean, look, I like your thinking. I mean, I also, always want to be incredibly direct. The truth of the matter is that kind of sites that are wandering around, kind of that haven't been built on, tend to be kind of have terrible economics, and there's a reason that they continue to be kind of a strange plot of land with, with poor sunlight. So the key question is, how do we get bigger in the space? We are involved at looking at kind of not just greenfield, but kind of taking over existing sites. The thing that I think is the most obvious brand new area for growth, and I've talked about this before, we continue to progress our sustainable biomass activities. So by sustainable biomass, the reality is that biomass is not actually good for the world. It's proven to be kind of it's net zero carbon over time, but you destroy the planet in the first 50 years, and then kind of at the end, when you finally regrow the trees, you end up kind of completing the carbon cycle. But we're building out a process that involves, work with local communities and local governments, where we take forests that have not been properly maintained, and you prune the forest, and by pruning the forest, you actually preserve the forest's ability to live and create oxygen, and so it's actually truly sustainable biomass. That's the thing that's kind of the most obvious as a brand new activity. It does deal with a significant environmental problem. It does address the desires of regional areas where these forests mostly are to try to generate employment. It is something that the Suga administration is very interested in. So that's kind of, we will continue to work on what we can continue to do in solar and wind, but a brand new potential growth area is going to be the sustainable biomass.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Richard, thank you very much for joining.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for your explanation on the earnings. Was just wondering, coming back to the hotel. So, how have the Go-To campaigns affected the hotel operations so far? And is it measurable? And have you also taken this into account when discussing your hotel acquisition plans and also taking on these hotel operator contracts? Are they like loss-making in the first year, or may you could please expand a little bit on that?
So look, Go-To has been helpful for the hotel industry. It's been primarily helpful for operators, and we care about operators. So kind of the grim reality is that the operators are paying no variable rents to us. They have been paying, for the most part, fixed rents. And in certain cases, they're underwater on the fixed rents. And so what Go-To has been primarily done is been able to sustain the finances of operators who were in deep distress. But they really have not, apologies, Richard, they really haven't changed our economics in the hotel business. We're still waiting for, again, our disclosed data and our own balance sheet. Hotels look very, very similar. I mean, the RevPARs are down 70% year on year. It's just devastating. In terms of the operator contracts, I mean, it could be a minor amount of negatives on the first year, but nothing material. We're not going to wear it out. So we're pretty confident that, in the near term, these are kind of break-even-ish, and in the long term, that they generate good upside for us.
Okay, clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Richard. We're ready to take questions or feedback from anybody. Again, you press star, then one for that. Greg, thank you. You're always welcome.
Sorry, just a quick follow-up if there is no one else. Yeah, just on to follow on the hotels. My follow-up question was, have you been approached by banks who have potentially asset to offload? And also separately, have you had interest from third party who would like you to kind of spearhead a recovery fund, or is it still would it still be just your principal money, so to speak?
So the answer is no and yes. No, the banks haven't come to us yet. I mean, to the bank's credit, and to the FSA's credit, the FSA has been very good on do not pull lines on functioning hotel operations. And so the few cases where we've had operators kind of give up and go into bankruptcy proceedings is because they were not actually functioning pre-COVID. And so if that's the case, then you're certainly not functioning post-COVID. And so the banks are not kind of bringing assets to us at this point. You know, we'll have to see what happens. And we would be, someone that they would come to. I mean, we obviously have significant capabilities in the hotel space. We made it clear that we're growing our presence in this area. We have strong relationships with the banks. On your second question, yes, we have been approached by a number of parties on, you want to do something together. And we'll make a call on that. The trade-offs are, if you bring in other people's capital, you earn an asset management fee on it, and it definitely won't involve a performance fee. That could be something that, has powerful economics. We generally have gone towards using our own capital first, just because we found that, we tend to have proprietary sourcing. We're very careful about kind of the kinds of places that we go. We turn all the economics to our shareholders has worked pretty well. But if we did something very large, to your point, Greg, we probably, in the hotel space, given uncertainties, we probably would end up sharing risk on that, full stop. I mean, because we're not going to do something massive given current uncertainties right now.
Okay, sounds interesting. And just a totally unrelated question.
Sure.
But, the push by Suga-san for digitalization and getting rid of Hong Kong, as you guys know well, the real estate in Japan is a very regulated industry in terms of, you have to have a physical storefront to close deals, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Do you think that could change? I mean, is that something that you think could help, see a real kind of real estate tech business, so to speak, kind of take off?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that was, you understand the gist of my question, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the Suga administration has actually included real estate explicitly in its framework for digitalization. And so, I'm sorry, I know you already know this, but it involves, the ability to no longer require physical presence for doing real estate transactions is on the agenda. That's going to be a productivity driver for the business. Quite honestly, we would benefit from it. We would like that a lot. There's a requirement for kind of a physical presence and kind of handholding, as it were, that is not productive and reflects kind of 19th century best practice, not 21st century best practice. So we would be prepared for that. And look, one of the things that has been a positive for COVID. And we're looking for positives because it's overwhelmingly, in the short term, certainly from an earnings perspective, COVID has been devastating, we've used it as an opportunity to put a bunch of time and effort into understanding how we can get higher productivity using information technology. And so there continues to be an ongoing and successful effort to drive higher productivity. And that's primarily about taking processes and making them end-to-end without human intervention. To use an example, we're robustly automating our financial reporting information, all the data gathering, everything like that, so that you kind of you put something in and it shows up for our financial reports. It's you know, it is not a real estate specific issue, but this has been a good time. You're sitting around, you're not able to do a lot of things that you normally can do, so how are you going to use your time productively? I mean, this is a really good way to invest for the future. It's going to take our costs down, it's going to improve our productivity. In a sense, you know, again, this is something that I got wrong, because I own, you know, take full ownership for everything we've done. We should have invested in this more earlier. And so that's also been a powerful lesson, that taking some of the firm's resources and doing more on IT should be an ongoing effort.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Greg. All right. Thank you, everybody. We're grateful for your time. It's a tough time in the world. Take care. Be safe. Have a good day.